Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Today we are going to talk about very important topic related to the companies. This is the topic of winding up. As you know that there is a special procedure so as to form a company. In the same way, in order to brought a company to an end, there is also a legal procedure due to which a company may come to an end. There are two terms in this relation which are winding up and dissolution. So first of all, we shall see the difference between these two terms. The winding up is a procedure which is meant to put the life of the company to an end. So, by which this process of winding up, the assets of the company, they are realized, they are disposed of, the debts of the company are paid, out of the assets of the company or from the assets of the contributors, as the case may be. And anything which is left after paying the outstanding liabilities, such amount or such assets are distributed among the members according to their shares. So this is the process of winding up. During this process, a special manager is appointed in order to carry on all of these things. Such person is called liquidator. This process of winding up is also known as liquidation. So these two terms are identical, liquidation or winding up of the company. So when this process of winding up is completed, all of the things which I have mentioned, if all of these things are done, then the court passes the order that this company is now being dissolved. So winding up is a legal procedure by which an incorporated company is taken towards its end, and dissolution is that order which finally brought the company to an end and it ceases to exist after its dissolution. Section 342 talks about the dissolution, and it says that dissolution takes place when affairs of the company have been completely wound up. Secondly, where the court is of the opinion that the liquidation process cannot be continued due to lack of funds or lack of want of assets. Or if the court may think that it is reasonable in the given circumstances that the order of dissolution should be made. So in these three different cases, the dissolution would occur. So mainly it takes place where the affairs of the company are completely wound up. This is the main rule. Exceptionally, it may be granted in some other cases where there are no assets for a company, or the winding up procedure cannot be carried on, or any other situation where the court may think it's fit. So in presence of any of these situations, the court would give the order that this company is now being dissolved from the date of the order, and by virtue of this order of the court, the company shall be dissolved. This order of dissolution would brought the company to an end, but still the rights of debts from the company or the debts are due to the company from any other person, all of those rights, if any right is still pending, it would continue So this is dissolution. And dissolution takes place after winding up procedure. Here I took a name of an important person who is liquidator. So liquidator is a person who is appointed to carry on the proceedings of winding up. So in certain cases, if he is appointed by the court or where the winding up procedure is under the court or is by the court, winding up is being carried on by the court, in such a case the liquidator would be called an official liquidator. So his main jobs and purposes are to get or to realize all of the properties of the company, to pay the debts of the company, and to distribute the surplus among the members of the company as well as the members according to their rights or according to their shares or according to their rights. So this is liquidator because he is an important person who take control of all of the activities of winding up. So let's see that what are the consequences of winding up. Winding up, as I said, that it is not itself the end of the company. So even after the company has been wound up, it will still be considered a company, and the provisions related to the companies shall be applicable as far as possible to the company which has been wound up. It is under section 387. But still, it will be, there will be certain consequences whenever the winding up proceedings starts. So first of all, as regard the company, when the winding up proceedings start, the company would still remain a company. It will not cease. Its legal personality would continue, but its management and administration would be changed. Previously, it was by directors and other officers, but now this administration will be carried on by the liquidator or the official liquidator till the dissolution of the company. As regarding the shareholders, after the winding up, their new statutory role as contributories would start. So after winding up proceedings have been started, change in the status or transfer of shares without the leave of the court or without the approval of the liquidator, all of these transfers in the shares would be considered to be void. So in order to transfer the shares or any other change in the status of any member, it would require the approval by the official liquidator. Another important aspect is the creditors. So after winding up proceedings have been started, the creditors would not be able to file any suit or start any legal proceedings against the company except with the prior leave of the court. In the same way, if they have already obtained any decrees, they will not be allowed to go for execution of those decrees. In the same way, they will also be required to prove their claims or to lodge their complaints before the liquidator who has been appointed. In the same way, the management would also be affected by the winding up proceedings. So afterwards, after the winding up proceedings have been started, the directors, chief executive, and other officers, their powers would cease, except their powers to give notices or to file certain consents, etc. Some of these powers would remain. The main powers of management would be taken away. So after the winding up proceedings have been started, the property of the company cannot be disposed of except with the approval and leave of the court. So these were different consequences which would occur once the winding up proceedings have been started. It means that the process to wind up the company, if it gets started, these consequences would follow. Now let's see the modes of winding up, how a company may be wound up. Section 293 of Companies Act, it gives three different modes for winding up of a company. So a company may be wound up by, first of all, by the court. Second, it may be wound up voluntarily. It may be wound out, thirdly, under the supervision of the court. So these three are the modes for winding up of the companies. So first of all, we shall see the first mode, which is winding up by the court. So this winding up is also called as compulsory winding up, because it is carried on by the order of the court. The circumstances under which a company may be wound up by the court have been listed in section number 301, Companies Act. So what are these circumstances? First of all, if a company has by special resolution decided that it shall be wound up by the court. So here it will be wound up by the court. An application should be given to the court on the basis of this special resolution, but practically it is not done quite often. It is not very common, because the members would for the most times they will want to carry on this company. Secondly, if the company has committed a default in holding statutory meeting, or it has not delivered the statutory report. So under section 131, we have seen the need for statutory report and statutory meeting. If that requirement has not been fulfilled, it may become a ground for dissolution by the court. In the same way, where a company has not conducted two consecutive annual general meetings, which are required under section 132. So in such case, it may also be wound up. In the same way, if a company has not submitted its financial reports to the registrar, which are required, and this default is for last two consecutive years, it may also be a ground of winding up by the court. The reduction of minimum numbers of members is also another ground. So if a private company, its membership has been reduced from two, or if the membership of a public company is reduced from three members, then it may also be wound up by the court. In the same way, if a company has been unable to pay its debts, it is another reason. So when a company would not be considered to pay its debts, its details are given in section 302. So where a creditor has a claim of 100,000 rupees or more, and upon his demand to pay this amount, a company has failed for more than 30 days to pay this amount, or any decree against the company has not been executed, or if the court is satisfied on any other ground, it may declare that this company is unable to pay its debts, and consequently it may become a ground for dissolution by the court. In the same way, if a company has been incorporated for fraudulent purposes, it is carrying on any activity which is unlawful or fraudulent, or the persons who are managing the company, they are not maintaining true accounts of the company, or they are committing fraud or misfeasance or malfeasance in the management of the company, it means that they are not performing their duties properly, or they are performing wrongful acts in conducting the activities of the company, or the persons who are managing a particular company, they have been involved in terror financing or money laundering, if they are have done these kinds of crimes. In the same way, the persons who are managing the company, they have refused to act in accordance with the provisions of memorandum and articles, or the provisions of the Companies Act, etc., or they are not following the directions of the commission or registrar. So all in all of these cases, is this company may be brought to the winding up by the court. In the same way, a company which is not carrying on its business, or it has been out of operation for more than 1 year, so such company would also be wind up by the court. But if due to some special business circumstances the business could not have been carried on, then the company may seek exemption from this particular provision. In the same way, if the company had been working under a particular license and that license have been revoked, so in all of these cases a company may be wound up by the court. In the same way, if there is a company which is carrying on its business in a manner which is against the rights of the members or its minority shareholders, so it will also be a ground for winding up by the court. In the same way, if it was a listed company and it has ceased to be a listed company, it may also be wound up. And on any other just or equitable ground, the court may wind up the company. So this is a wide power, discretionary powers given to the court. So if there is any other ground, like the deadlock in the management of the company, or any other ground, it may be a ground for winding up by the court. Now, this winding up procedure, we have seen the circumstances. The process of winding up would start by an application. Section 304, it gives the list of the persons who are applicable or who are eligible to apply for winding up. So this winding up application, it may be filed by the company itself, but it will require to give the state of its affairs, the state of its assets and liabilities, and all other details. And providing those details, a company may file a petition for winding up. In the same way, the application may also be filed by the creditor of the company, or it would also include any contingent creditor of the company. So if any creditor, the creditors would be required to make up a prima facie case for winding up, and upon furnishing necessary securities, the court may hear their petition. Then the applicant may also be the contributory, but it is required that a contributory may apply for winding up in case of reduction of membership, and another requirement is that such contributory must be a member. He has been a member for 180 days at least. It means that he is holding the shares of that company in for 180 days in last 18 months. So he will be eligible to go for the petition for winding up. Then the petitioner may also be a registrar, but it shall be required that the registrar must have obtained the sanction by the commission, and he shall also have provided approved an opportunity to the company to clear its position. Then the commission or any authorized person of the commission may also lodge a petition for winding up, but commission may proceed for winding up in case of fraudulent activities being carried on by the company, or any authorized business is being carried on by the company, or it is oppressive for its members. So in such cases, the commission may proceed against the company for winding up, but before proceeding, it shall provide enough opportunity to the company to clear its position, and opportunity for hearing must be provided to the company. So these were the persons who are eligible to apply for winding up on the grounds we have seen under Section 301. So whenever an application has been presented for winding up, Section 306 says that the winding up proceedings would be considered from that date. So winding up by the court would be considered to commence on the date when the application or the petition for winding up have been filed. Now, after the petition has been received by the court, it can give injunctions for any other proceedings related to the company under Section 307. So the injunction may be for the time till the final order on this petition for winding up is given. So for that period, a temporary injunction may be stopped. Then, after when the petition has been filed, after hearing the petition, the court may pass any of the orders given in Section 308 of Companies Act. These orders includes dismissal order with or without costs. In the same way, any interim order may also be given for a particular period of time. Thirdly, a provisional manager may also be appointed. A provisional manager who will take care of the affairs of the company till the final order on the petition for winding up is made. So for that particular period of time, a provisional manager may be appointed. This provisional manager, he will be a person who is eligible to be appointed as a liquidator. His duties or functions may be limited or may be restricted by the orders of the court, but he is having all other powers which a liquidator possesses. So when a provisional manager is appointed, the court shall first of all give opportunity to the company to represent its position on the appointment, because after appointment of provisional manager, he takes charge of all of the management and affairs of the company. So this is the power of the court. Then when a petition is filed for winding up, it may appoint a provisional manager till the final disposal of the petition. In the same way, on receiving a petition, the court may also give a order for winding up of the company, or the court may give any other order which it want to give. So these are different kinds of orders which may be given by the court under section 308. Whenever the court has given the order for winding up under section 308, it shall cause its the intimation to the registrar that an official liquidator has been appointed, because after the winding up order is given, then all of the affairs of that company would be taken over by the official liquidator. So this is a necessary requirement. Official liquidator is appointed. His appointment is mentioned in section 315, and section 315, it requires that the commission should contain database or a panel of persons from whom the court may choose a provisional manager or official liquidator to be appointed for a particular company. So official liquidator should be appointed because this winding up is the winding up by court. So official liquidator should be appointed by the court, but no person can be appointed as official liquidator of more than three companies. The qualification of official liquidator is that such person must have at least experience of 10 years in the fields of accounts or finance or law, or any professional experience for at least 10 years. So their details, detailed qualifications are to be mentioned by the commission, because the commission shall maintain the panel. When the appointment of liquidator is done by the court, he shall give a declaration that he has no interest attached to the company. Any casual vacancy in the office of liquidator shall be filled by the court. Otherwise, it is not allowed to any official liquidator to resign before the completion of his task. Section 316 provides that once an official liquidator has been appointed, afterwards he may be removed by the court if it is apparent that he is not independent or he is not acting impartially. He shall be removed. In the same way, if he is committing misconduct or fraud or misfeasance, he can be removed. If he is professionally incompetent or he is not performing his jobs properly, in the same way, if it becomes apparent that the conflict of interest is there, he has some kind of personal interest in the affairs of the company, in such a case he may also be removed by the court. The remuneration and other benefits to the liquidator shall also be fixed by the court under section 317, but he will be entitled to remuneration if he has completed the process of liquidation. And if he quit before the completion of winding up, then he shall not be entitled to any remuneration. After his appointment, section 324 provides that he shall have the custody of all of the properties and rights of the company. Everything would be handed over to the official liquidator. After his appointment, it is required under section 322 that the state of affairs of that company shall be given to him. So report the state of affairs regarding the company shall be made to the official liquidator under section 320. This of state of affairs would be including all of the details relating to the company. What are its assets and liabilities, the cash balance with the company, the details regarding the creditors of the company. In the same way, the debtors of the company, the details of such persons must be there. In the same way, the properties of the company, if they are not in the possession still, where are those properties? The places of business, the for last 180 days, all of such places where the business has been conducted. In the same way, all of the legal proceedings, their details must be disclosed, or any other particulars. So all of these things should be disclosed and told to the person who has been appointed as official liquidator under section 320. After receiving this state of affairs of the company, under section 321, the liquidator shall file a report of all of these affairs to the court, and he shall give all of these details which have been told to him, and he shall furnish a report under section 321. On receiving the report, the court shall first of all fix the date up to which the proceedings of winding up shall be completed under section 322. In the same way, here if the court suspects that there are some persons who have got the possession of the property of the company, such persons may be summoned and examined under section 326. In the same way, if there are the promoters or other directors or other officers of the company about whom the allegations of fraudulent activities or any other wrong act relating to the company is alleged, such persons may be summoned by the court under section 327 and their public examination may be held. In the same way, if there are contributors who are absconding or who have run away, such persons may be arrested under section 328. In the same way, if there is any other amount which is still unpaid by the contributory, such persons may be ordered to pay such amount to the official liquidator under section 329. So these are different actions which are taken by the court after receiving the report by the liquidator. The liquidator, he carries on his functions. He takes on the activities of the company which are necessary to be completed he performs all of his duties. His duties have been mentioned in section 337. To carry on the business so as to complete the payment of outstanding debts. In the same way, his powers also include to make any contract or to issue any document on behalf of the company. He can also sell the movable or immovable property of the company. In the same way, he can also take part in any legal proceeding by or on behalf of the company. In the same way, he can also deal with the creditors to settle their claims. In the same way, he may also take any professional assistance by any specialized person, expert person. In the same way, he can also appoint advocate to take part in legal proceedings. And all other necessary actions which are necessary can be taken by him. Regarding the winding up of the company, distribution of the assets, and to discharge his legal duties. In the same way, he can also approach the court for any directions, for any orders relating to the winding up of the company. He shall also make sure that he should consult with the contributories as well as the creditors of the company. He shall also take care of their needs or their intentions or their opinions under section 340. After completing all of these things, section 341 requires that when he has paid all of the outstanding debts of the company, the surplus which is available with him within 30 days, the official liquidator shall distribute all of the remaining amounts among the contributories of the company. First of all, the expenses for winding up or other necessary payments shall be made. Then the creditors would be satisfied, and afterwards the contributories or the members of the company should be given their part in the assets of the company. And whenever all of these things have been duly complied with, then the court shall give the order under section 342 that now all of the affairs of the company have been completely wound up, and consequently now this company is being dissolved. And by the order of dissolution under section 342, this company would come to an end, and its legal entity or the legal personality would now no more be in existence. So this was the winding up by the court. Now afterwards we shall move on to the other modes of winding up.